case number 21-3723, Carrie Davis versus Coleraine Township, Ohio. Arguments not to exceed 15 minutes per side. Ms. Kinsley, you may proceed for the appellant.
Good morning. My name is Jennifer Kinsley, and I represent appellant Carrie Davis. I would like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal.
Very well.
May it please the court and counsel, the district court erred in awarding summary judgment to Coleraine Township because its Facebook rules and its public participation rules are both facially viewpoint-based in violation of the First Amendment. In this case, the lower court committed 3 analytical missteps. First, the district court improperly conflated the viewpoint neutrality and reasonableness requirements for speech restrictions in a limited public forum. Collapsing these separate inquiries into just one focused exclusively on legislative justification. Second, the district court improperly held that a viewpoint neutral justification, in this case the government's interest in orderly public meetings, can save a viewpoint-based regulation when Reed versus Town of Gilbert says exactly the opposite. And third, the district court erred in dismissing the importance of this court's decisions in American Freedom Defense Initiative and ISIN, and the Supreme Court's decision in Model, instead focusing too narrowly on Ms. Davis's as-applied claim, which is not at issue in this appeal, rather than focusing on the facial flaws with the rules themselves.
Well, you only have you're only bringing to us the facial challenge?
That's correct, Your Honor.
You're seeking only prospective relief, injunctive relief, is that correct?
We are seeking nominal damages relief in both cases, yes.
Okay. Why, I mean, so you're seeking, you've got the nominal damages, but as to your claim for prospective injunctive relief, why isn't that moot given the rescission or given Facebook's removal of this, you know, language you're concerned about quite some time ago?
To address your question in the context of the Facebook rules, the removal of the Facebook rules is not eligible for mootness because this was not an voluntary cessation of the policy.
That's all the more reason why it would be moot. I mean, you know, when a defendant just chooses to stop doing the challenge activity, there's a danger they might just start again, you know, if we dismiss the case. When a third party somehow intervenes to put an end to it, as appears to have happened here, the likelihood that the defendant's just going to restart is less, and that means the likelihood of mootness is greater.
That's not what the evidence in this case reveals. The evidence in this case shows that the administrators of the Facebook page could continue and will continue to monitor the comments on the Facebook page and run them through their legal counsel to determine whether they conform with these rules.
But you're bringing a challenge specifically to some language that used to or formerly was on, you know, their page, and that was directing or guiding the sort of a review that you're talking about, right?
That's correct.
And I mean, and so what good would prospective injunctive relief do for you with respect to language that is long since gone already?
We are seeking nominal damages for the backwards looking part.
You know, we do justiciability not only claim by claim, but based on the relief as well. And I understand your nominal damages, that's retrospective, but the prospective stuff is what I'm struggling with, why that remains a live issue as to something that's no longer there.
This court has held that the actions of single government actors are not entitled to the kind of solicitude that Your Honor is giving them in this instance. This is the abandonment of a policy, and we're being very generous here because the government, in this case, didn't choose to walk away from this. Facebook merely changed the way that it was reporting this information to the public.
The question I had, what is the, so whether a policy, a governmental policy, is public or whether it is the same exact policy, it's just not publicized to the public. And so you apply the policy, but you just don't tell anybody about it. It seems to me it wouldn't be moot. But what does the record evidence say on whether the government is following the same exact rules, it's just no longer on their website?
The record evidence is that the administrators of the Facebook page will continue to administer the Facebook page in the exact same way.
What's the evidence for that?
They look for whether a poster's comments comply with the policy, and if they have a red flag, if they think a particular comment doesn't conform with this policy, they run it through legal counsel. Now, focusing on the terminology of the policy itself, it's very clear that these terms are viewpoint-based under this court's precedent and the Supreme Court's precedent.
I actually had a question about standing rather than mootness. What do you mean when you distinguish facial versus as applied? Are you still challenging? It seems to me there's two provisions that you might ostensibly be challenging on the Facebook, whether they're public or not. The one is the hateful speech or the and you want to challenge that. That really wasn't applied to you. The policy that was applied to you, it seems to me, was the no video policy. And so that is where your injury arises, is the no video policy. Are you still challenging the no video policy, or are you only challenging the separate provisions on hateful speech?
We are not challenging the no video policy. We are challenging the facial viewpoint bias.
Well, why do you have standing to challenge something that has never affected you?
It is our position, and it is Ms. Davis's testimony, that the video was removed not because individuals were not allowed to post videos on Facebook, but because the township did not like the viewpoint that was being expressed in the video.
In that video, it would make no sense to say that a hateful speech policy was applied to the video. Nothing she said in that video was hateful. I mean, is there even a... I would suggest there's not a genuine issue of material fact on the underlying reason why that video was removed. It just wouldn't make sense to have removed it for hateful speech. I mean, her other comments, which essentially expressed the same thing, just not in video form, were allowed to remain. What's the evidence that it was actually tied to the hateful speech provisions?
The evidence is the police chief's original post itself. The police chief started this Facebook thread by criticizing Ms. Davis and her intention in coming to speak at the public meeting in the first place. Let's pause to think about the gravity of that. Ms. Davis comes to a public meeting to speak about her local government, and what happens as a result is that the police chief of her community takes to Facebook to complain about her. That post itself is the evidence that the police department was critical of Ms. Davis and did not like her viewpoint.
They have their own speech rights. The court just decided a case that says the government has their own speech rights.
It does.
Trying to clarify the record that their emergency officers actually do have college degrees. I mean, they have every right to express what they want to express.
They do. They absolutely do. The government has free speech rights just like everyone else. But that post is indicative of the motive that the government had in removing the video.
So in order for you to have standing, then we have to say there's a genuine issue of material fact on the underlying reason for why the video was removed. And if you would concede that it was removed consistent with the video policy, I know you disagree with that, but assume that I think that's true, would your claim kind of against the hateful speech policy fall apart, or would you still have a theory for why you could challenge that?
There's still a theory, Your Honor. And that theory is that the Facebook rules themselves say everyone who comments on these rules is, or on these on this Facebook page, is subject to these rules. And you may not post content of this variety. So the rules themselves limit the discourse and sort of set the rules of engagement for the Facebook page. So people are self-censoring already. The harm is already inherent in the application and posting of the rules themselves. And there's evidence in the record from Ms. Davis's deposition. She indicated that she was afraid. She had been through many free speech battles with the township, and she was afraid that she was going to be targeted and arrested as other people had in this township. So she was limiting her content and her expression based on these rules. So the rules themselves actually...
What was she planning to say that she couldn't say?
She wanted to criticize her local government in a variety of ways. There's testimony in the deposition that she witnessed a shooting outside of her house, and she wanted to speak about that, and she was afraid to do that.
Because it would violate what?
She was concerned that her expression would be targeted by the government.
Yeah, but your theory is that it would violate something in the policy, right?
Yes. I mean, the policy prohibits talking about violence. So talking about a shooting that happened outside of her house would inherently entail talking about violence. And so she was afraid that she would be targeted.
What's the language of the policy that keeps you from talking about violence?
You cannot talk about violence. That's
what it says in so many words?
Yes, that's the literal terminology. Turning to the rules of public participation, there the township limits comments that are disrespectful. This rule has actually been applied to exclude someone from speaking to the public body. That person was arrested, another man was arrested, and Ms. Davis herself was interrupted and told not to speak.
Why is that one not? That one seems moot, too, given that they see the council seems to have, in good faith, responded to ISIN. In the notes, it suggested that they deleted the disrespectful language because they were following our precedent. That strikes me as something that we should be encouraging.
I see my time is up. May I respond to your question?
Sure.
Three reasons. First, the judicial notice motion bringing this to the court's attention was untimely. This was filed many, many months after the amendment to the rules occurred. It was not brought to the district court's attention in a timely fashion to allow us to conduct discovery about the motive of the township in amending its rules. This is the fourth time they've changed the rules.
And it needs to be a concise response when the red light's on.
Thank you. We have a nominal damages claim, and this is also capable of repetition yet evading review, given the four amendments. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. All right, we'll hear from the township.
May it please the court, Scott Solman from Schroeder Mondrell, Barbier and Powers, on behalf of the appellee, Corian Township. I think an issue that, which plaintiff has never addressed in either her appellate brief or even her reply brief, is how the filing of the amended complaint affects her case. An amended complaint supersedes all prior complaints and earlier complaints for all purposes. It essentially supersedes her initial complaint once it's filed. And although it's never been addressed by a plaintiff, we believe at the township, it's our position that when the leave was granted by the court and plaintiff's First Amendment complaint was filed, it tremendously impacted the case with respect to standing and mootness issues.
What changes had this impact?
Well, I think from our position, based on the Sixth Circuit precedent, when a motion, a First Amendment complaint is filed by the court after leave, it reverts back to when the motion for leave was actually applied for. In this case, and I can get into the timeline, but that occurred in April of 2021, and at that point, with respect to a recent court, the Supreme Court in Uzabonim versus Prochesky, it talks about standing and mootness, and it talks about the doctrine of standing generally assesses whether an interest or claim exists at the outset of the claim, while the doctrine of mootness considers whether it exists throughout the proceedings. And when the First Amendment complaint, which was filed in April of 2021, or at least the request for leave was made.
So what happened between the original filing and the amended filing that affects, I presume, standing in the first instance?
That is when your honors have alluded to in regards to in March of 2021, the Facebook
So that happens in that interim.
Had been unilaterally taken off by Facebook. And then I will also attest that there is evidence to the effect that not only did Facebook remove those terms, but also the chief of police, Mark Denny, testified via affidavit that he would not put those terms back up, even if.
Why does it matter if the terms are public if you're actually applying them? So what are the rules? Is it totally free game now on this Facebook page? You can say any hateful things you want, and the township just doesn't care? Or is there going to be regulation? What's the record say on that?
I think that's exactly a good question, because application, the testimony, the evidence from the three administrators who are the only ones who can post for the township is that they have never deleted a video, a comment, anything. They never said they would prohibit that the terms that are at issue. They said they reserve the right to go ahead and take those down.
Is the policy now just some type of ad hoc we reserve the right to do when we think it's bad?
The policy at this point, I don't know that there is one in place, quite frankly. And even when it was in place, no one ever removed anything anyway.
It sounds like, in which case we might have an issue as to that.
Well, no, because
as a matter of law, is it gone? If that's not the case, then why
don't it's never been applied, so I don't know how it would continue to exist. And the chief said that he, even having an ability to post it in other places on Facebook, he hasn't done that.
How many people are posting on this? Is this some I think up for discussion?
According to the district court, I think they said that there were like 9,000 followers on Cole Rain.
Well, that's a pretty decent audience.
And so, kind of going back to if you look at the rule, how we reserve the right to block, which has never happened, or reserve the right to remove a comment, which has never happened, the rules at the time, the previous formal rules said, you can't post videos.
So if somebody said just the most offensive thing, somebody said the N-word or something, you're standing here and saying that would just stay up?
Yes. I mean, if the testimony, the profanity filter is on. The evidence shows that the settings allow for profanity. And even with profanity even Plaintiff Davis has testified that what's the word? She said that it was not crude, but there's cuss words on there all the time. It's for profanity. If they really wanted to prevent profanity or something along those lines, they would just change the setting. They've never done that. They've never deleted anything. There's no evidence to show that they've ever deleted any comments. You know, while there may be a dispute as far as the video, which, again, that's a setting, so I don't know how Ms. Davis would have been able to post a video that wasn't able to do that. But with respect to her comments, none of those have ever been deleted. She's not been blocked. And with respect to the mootness and standing issues as far as the Board of Trustee rules meetings and the issue of disrespectful, initially when they filed, they cited rules that were in place, put in place back in 2010. Unbeknownst to them, apparently, those rules were changed in 2016. So when they even initially filed the complaint, they were facially attacking.
I was actually confused because you seem to have filed two affidavits, one of which said there was a 2010 rule and it was changed not till 2020 or something, and another one said it was changed in 2016. Those two affidavits struck me as patently inconsistent, and they were filed by the same party. I was curious if you could.
Well, there has been a change in administration, right? So the assistant administrator was one who provided the affidavit, and the administrator of the township now, who has previously served and been around for a lot longer, has also filed the other affidavit. But
what is the actual true facts?
The actual true facts are, okay, in April 27, 2010, the township adopts rules of public participation, which is what was referenced in the initial complaint. August 9th, 2016, the township adopts different rules, replacing those rules of participation that have nothing to do with some of the references that are made in the initial complaint, i.e. condescending and respect. There's no reference to respect at all in those rules that were taken and put in place in 2016. And then in April 28, 2020, during COVID, the township adopts the rules that are in place now, the rules of conduct. And then recently, in July 13th to 21, they were amended to take out the phrase that the defendants have at issue, that the use of profane, disrespectful, or threatening language or gestures would not be tolerated. That has been taken out prior to the district court issuing its decision. And it hasn't been replaced since. And
where,
so I think,
where's the language that says you can't talk about violence?
I think that she's referring to the Facebook terms where the township reserves the right to take out a comment that incites violence or addresses violence in that regard.
Can someone quote the actual language for us? Do you happen to have that?
Yes. The Corrine Police Department reserves the right to remove and or block anyone who posts inappropriate material as determined by the Corrine Police Department. The Corrine Police Department does not allow posting of photos or videos by anyone other than members of the Corrine Police Department. It goes on to say that the Corrine Police Department welcomes a person's right to express his or her opinion and encourages posters to keep comments related to the content on this page. The Corrine Police Department reserves the right to remove any comments or views that are inappropriate or offensive, including comments that defame, abuse, harass, stalk, threaten, or violate the legal rights of others, include racism, hatred, slander, threats, obscenity, violence, vulgarity. And that's what Ms. Davis agreed, that the Facebook page was vulgar. Spam, advertise, and a number of those. There's been references to the trustees' rules at their meetings and people being, you know, I guess, escorted out. Both of those, the evidence shows, it had to do with personal attacks that are not included in the current rules of conduct. So those have no applicability either. There's no standing when that retroactively are applied in April of 2021, and it's moot now because they've never been in place. The new rules have nothing that talks about personal attacks, and they've been revised, and the township took, after the decision in ICE, and they took steps to take out additional language that they thought may be problematic in some way.
So what can a government entity do if they want to have some kind of discussion group like that that the public can participate in, but they don't want it to be an open free-for-all of whatever anyone wants to say? Is there's nothing left now? Is that the answer?
Are you asking what is left to do, or what does their attorney advise them?
That they have two choices if you're a government agency and you want to have a discussion group, which is you either allow everything, no matter what, or else you don't have it. Is there any other option?
If there is, I'm willing to listen to it because I'll go ahead and pass it on. I think you're right. I think that you have to let things on because there's the risk of, hey, all of a sudden if you address one issue, or if you say you're going to take stuff off, then there's a chance that it's going to be argued that it's, you know, not content neutral, and that it looks like content.
So I guess it goes to the scope of viewpoint neutral, but limited public forums are allowed to be content based.
That's correct.
Viewpoint based.
Yes, and I think with some of the recent decisions from the Supreme Court, where offensiveness has been held to be viewpoint, not viewpoint neutral, to be viewpoint discrimination, and other issues with respect to ICE and antagonistic and abusive has also been found to be problematic. I think it really that's a concern that the townships have. I mean, at what point do you just prevent people from being able to comment? I don't know. But we think that even the rules that are no longer in place, even those, when I think the court was on point, the district court, with respect to deciding that those were content-based restrictions at most. With respect to the term disrespectful at the board, the trustee meetings, there was nothing that Ms. Davis was prevented from saying. It was more about how she said it. I think that the court was on point in the fact that disruptful, you can agree and disagree with the position of the board and be disrespectful. And I think that the Facebook terms were reasonable and viewpoint neutral as well because of the fact that they reserve the right to take off those potential comments, which there's no evidence that they ever did.
I mean, is a limitation on inappropriate comments, is that really viewpoint neutral?
Well, if you reserve the right, I mean, in this case, there have probably been plenty of inappropriate comments that have been put on, in violation of Facebook terms.
Doesn't they haven't a judgment about propriety easily lend itself to a judgment about the viewpoint that's being expressed?
I think if the court is inclined to, I mean, it's a fine line. I think it's hard enough for the courts who have plenty of experience to look at that with some of the decisions coming out with offensiveness, to expect a township and these political subdivisions. And
but the township's the one who's putting this criterion out there.
And I think
saying it's viewpoint, discriminatory. It's not viewpoint neutral.
Well, given the fact that it's a limited public forum, they need to stay on point with respect to what the topics are.
That's content. I mean, this is about why isn't this about viewpoint? About, you can talk about certain subjects, but you better say certain things about those or else that's inappropriate.
I don't think that is the case with respect to Facebook or with respect to the rules at public participation either.
Okay.
And with that respect, Your Honors, we would request that this court affirm the decision of the district court finding in favor of Coring Township with respect.
Thank you, Your Honors. Thank you. We'll hear rebuttal.
Addressing mootness, the burden is on the government to prove that the case is moot, and the court has characterized that as a heavy burden. We've heard today that we don't actually know what the policy even is. My opposing counsel has said that the police chief would maybe leave up the N-word, but that contradicts his testimony in his own deposition, where he said that he would flag the N-word, bring it to the attention of legal counsel, because he would deem it to be racist and would want it to be removed under the policy.
What policy would be legal?
A policy
other than no limits, period. You can get up and say anyone who disagrees with me should be tarred and feathered.
Time, place, and manner restrictions that are viewpoint neutral and reasonable are allowed.
Manner, we know what the time and the place is, and the manner is to type something into the. That's it, though. There's no limit on what you can say. You can say everyone who disagrees with me should be attacked in the middle of the night.
The first
it's on point. It's on point. It's submitted. It meets the time, place, and manner restrictions, right?
True threats are not allowed.
Right.
Libel, slander, defamation is not allowed. Things that are not protected
by a policy that says if you lie on this thing, it can be taken off.
Lies are protected by the First Amendment. We have a First Amendment framework.
Wait a minute. Libel is okay, but lies aren't. I mean, what?
Under United States versus Alvarez, lies that contribute to the public discourse are actually protected by the First Amendment. We have a framework.
How can you say there's a limit for libel? Those are lies, right?
We have an existing doctrine that we can transpose into this forum. That's my point.
Why do you think that? It does trouble me, too, that what if it was, is there any type of viewpoint neutrality and just in a kind of a ban on just patently offensive words or curse words that everybody thinks should not be used in polite company? I mean, it wouldn't necessarily be viewpoint-based if you said nobody can use the F word on this. Because it's our Facebook page, we don't want this these words on there, and I don't care what point of view. Do you think that would be invalid after Mattel and the recent case after Mattel?
I think that restriction would be viewpoint neutral, as you've described it, Your Honor.
It's the problem here is more the generality. Like, disrespectful is such an opaque word that it lends itself to arbitrary enforcement. But if you had more specific guidelines, that might be okay.
Yes. And there are aspects of the Facebook rules and the public participation rules that we do not challenge. In fact, substantial chunks of those rules are not before the court because we deemed them to be satisfactory under the First Amendment. We've only challenged the portions of the rules that we believe to be viewpoint biased, and we've brought those with careful attention to the court.
Can you give some examples?
Of rules that we do not challenge?
Yeah.
For example,
have to do with what the words are that people are uttering. I'm not talking about the time of day or anything like that.
They don't contain those kinds of restrictions. The time, place, and manner limitations, not posting videos, for example, we're not challenging that. Limiting your public comments to a certain...
That's what I'm saying. Is there anything dealing with what words you can utter?
Yes.
That you say are okay?
Yes. May I answer your question? I'm out of time. In the public participation rules, there are limits to public comments being germane and relevant to the agenda items. We do not challenge that. We believe that's it's a perfectly fine restriction on public comment. The district court's order was in violation of the First Amendment and should be reversed. Thank you.
Thank you both for your arguments. The case will be submitted. Clerk may call the next case.